This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Pomp and Joe show continues. Being transparent here, Joe has decided to eat, and so he can't talk right now because it would not be polite of him to speak while his mouth is full. So therefore, Tyler, you and I will chat while Joe continues to really enjoy that bagel.
I have a trivia question for you, Bob.
Didn't work very long, did it?
What's your favorite bagel?
I worked at the This is from Brugger's, and we thank them. I worked at the original Brugger's in Pittsburgh in Squirrel Hill, 1992. Bagel cook. And a resentful counterperson.
You were a resentful counterperson. I could see you if some customer started again. Yeah, well, so you'd give it right back.
Oh, yeah.
You'd drop the gloves like Tyler would? And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I didn't believe in the maxim, the customer is always right.
Now,
especially
you should.
When I was right.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
Well, I did.
But you can't.
I did.
That's probably why you didn't last.
I know.
And now you have a flourishing career in broadcasting.
Look at this. I know.
Because you could push
even
back.
Though, even though
Tony
certain...
calls, you know, Joe is going to.
All right, Bob, let's get back to hockey. Go ahead. You were about to ask Tyler something.
No, we were talking about goaltending because you brought up the last thing. I find it very interesting that, and you can say what you want about Spencer Knight, but he was a former number one pick of Florida, and he was acquired in a deal for Seth Jones. Now, Spencer Knight is still only 23. I look at these goaltenders who have switched teams. And Logan Thompson, I talk a lot about how that was a shrewd move by Washington to snatch him away from Vegas. But Bobrovsky's been playing a lot. They won a championship. He's still their goaltender. Spencer plays a little bit, but he was acquired in this deal. How do the Penguins solve this? And do you think the answers lie within? Do you think these young guys, and I think it's too early to make an assessment one way or another, but they have to believe that those guys are going to be good NHL goaltenders, whether it's Philip Larson, Blomqvist, Mirashov, any of them.
Yeah, like right now I'm hoping that this Mirashov kind of develops quick because he seems like he's taking all the quick steps. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen from Bloomer, it's like I haven't seen a game where I'm like, wow, that's like I haven't seen a Marc-Andre Fleury game from him yet. You know, where he stole the show, where you feel confident. Like, I don't think he's played that well in the NHL, and maybe because they rushed him. So the whole situation in goaltender, like, I think we're hoping, and we just don't know. And if there's a, I think if there's a trade to be had, you know, the Penguins have to go for it because the unknown with the goalies right now is scary for me. And, like, that would have been such a great move. Like, that guy can play. You know,
and
like,
he's still just 23. Like, former, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, young. You know, you can't. You need a goalie. You can't win without a goalie.
What do you guys hear about the kid in who was just in Wheeling? I think he just got called back.
Sharapov, whatever. What's his
Musharov? I think.
No, we were just talking about
Mirashov.
Yeah, we were just talking about him.
What do you hear of him?
I mean, he has a lot of talent, but he's in Wheeling. He's still not ready to play here.
But he went to the Wilkes and he played unbelievable too.
And he's had a lot of shutouts. I think he's again. You could look at him at this level and think one thing. When he gets here, I think Blomqvist has learned that it's a lot more different up here when you go facing some of the shots. Like Austin Matthews' goal the other day was so quick.
Oh,
he learned that's you got to be ready.
And like from the East Coast to the NHL is like night and day. You know, these guys are so different. And even you hear Bloomer after the games when he first got called up, he goes, the speed of the shots up here is what I'm really having a hard time adjusting to. Because these guys are snipers. Like, NHL sniper, like an Austin Matthew and an East Coast sniper is they're not even in the same level. You know what I mean? Not even the same league, you know, obviously. But like it's such a difference and getting used to that is tough. And I think that's what he's had trouble with. But with this Sharapov, like, again, we're not making playoffs. Like, call him up. Let's see it. Let's see what he's all about. Like, I think, like you said, Bob, this is the time to really see the cards. Let's see what we're dealing with, especially after.
I agree.
And you might be surprised. Some guy might come up here and immediately, you know, have no problem. And so now you can answer a question or two instead of waiting till next training camp to do it.
Yeah, like at least you know going in the summer, like, hey, this Sharapov, yeah, he's going to be, he's the future. So you can kind of like, you can stay on him in the summer. You can kind of see, you can get him to play in the Worlds. You know, you can do a lot of stuff. But I think they need to, like, let's see what we have here. But who are you going to sit? Like, you can't sit
Well, they have Jari up here now. Is he going to play tonight or when is it tomorrow?
Make him earn his money, I think.
Or at least try to figure it out. So,
but do you think they called him up so they can trade him from up here, you know, and put him in a package deal?
I don't know.
When you think of trades, I think they're package deals. If you want this guy, you're going to have to take this guy,
well,
too.
Right. That's maybe with Raquel. Yeah, with Raquel. If you want Raquel, you're taking part of Ryan Graves with him.
But that's going to limit what you get in return, I think, also.
True.
Well,
very true.
What you're getting in return is money freed up over the next 5 years.
I understand that. But
which equals players.
Based on how he spent it, you wonder how much of that.
I know. Believe me. I'm wondering about Kyle Dubas myself. Letang isn't going anywhere for now, but do you think he might be inclined to maybe waive his no movement in the offseason, Tyler? Montreal is the team that stands out, his hometown. Do you think he would do that, or you think the legacy part is as important to him as it is Sid and Gino, apparently?
Well, I think it's tough. When you start talking about Montreal with a kid that grew up there pretty close, like, I think that changes things, you know? And I think, you know, if I'm him and you're seeing how it's going, you see they bring in Carlson, that probably didn't make him happy. Like, I think it crosses his mind for sure. I think Tanger would take a good hard look at it. I know those three with Tanger, Malkin, and Crosby are going to be a pack. But I think when you start talking about Montreal, I think it makes them think a little bit different, you know, just because it's just one of those things that you, like, will look back and be like, no, I played in front of my hometown in the NHL. I played for the Montreal. Like, when you go to, like, when you go to Toronto, when you go to Montreal, those two teams, like, when you play there, that's like a guaranteed job after you're done playing because of so many sponsorships. Like, you know, like Darcy Tucker, like Matt Sundin, those guys, all they do,
they're like ambassadors.
Ambassadors, yeah. And they make like over $100,000 just being ambassadors.
Right.
So even though Tanger doesn't need the money, but I just think
keeps you involved.
Yeah, keeps you involved, and it's something to be said when you're a Canadian kid playing it for the Montreal Canadiens, being from there. So I think it would cross his mind. I think it'd be a hard decision, but I definitely think he would think about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, these are options, and he'll still always be remembered for being a Penguin and what he meant to the Penguins.
Right.
That won't ever change. It's like these guys who go in the Hall of Fame, the large portion of his career is in one place, and then a couple of stragglers at the end. It doesn't matter.
Right,
you know,
right.
So if he's willing to do that, that would be the first step. But I don't know if those conversations even will be held.
But it's like Max Talbot, right? He comes back. They have a bobble night. Like, Max Talbot is a Pittsburgh Penguin, even though he went to Philly, even though he went to Avalanche. No, he's a Penguin, just like Letang. You know, he would be. And I know, I'm pretty sure he skates with them before the year starts at the Bell Center with the whole Montreal. So he probably knows a lot of those guys, you know?
Well, I mean, it works with anyone. When you look at a guy like Rod Woodson for the Steelers, even though he went to Baltimore, played there, and he does radio for them, when he's still a Steeler, you know, people will still identify him as such. So,
especially when you win, right?
Yeah.
When you got three championships and you're a huge part of it, like, he's always going to be a Penguin. It's just like, I think things when business comes into it, and when they did bring in Carlson, I think it hurt Tanger a little bit. You know, and I know it was a business, and I know it helped sell tickets and that, but when you bring a guy in after you had kind of the same guy win three championships, I think it hurts you a little. I think it takes a little bit off of your pride and your, you know, the team, what it meant to you. I think it does. And, you know, I'd be surprised if Montreal wants Tanger because of his salary, because of where he's at, where they're going. They're trying to get younger, you know, but again, being a leader, being a championship guy, being from Montreal, you're going to get a pretty good Chris Letang. You know, whenever you play in front of your friends and family.
And they're still in contention. Oh, yeah. They have a chance to get in.
I don't think it'll happen at this deadline, though.
No.
I don't get that impression.
How do you think Mike Sullivan will be as a coach of a team that's rebuilding, sort of? Because that doesn't seem like...
Good question. You
know, they're rebuilding right now, no? Like,
But I mean, to what extent does it go?
I think when they actually do have bunches of young guys and draft picks coming up and all that.
Because he did well when those guys were at Wilkes-Barre and he was down there and he brought them all up.
Might be the best thing for him. What do you think, Tyler?
But, like, think of Dan Bylsma. Dan Bylsma had all of us come up, and by the end of his career, he wasn't the same coach as he was when he broke in, right? And no matter what, when you coach a team that wins, you always feel some respect to keep playing those guys and not turn the page over to the next young group of guys coming up, because you almost owe the older players for helping you win that championship that you'll have forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, can Mike Sullivan turn the page? Because right now, he still kind of plays the same guys. He hasn't really given those young guys. Even, like, the one thing I always think about Sullivan, and, like, they played Philadelphia Flyers, and that Bomko, you know, the tough guy they had?
Yeah.
Played. The Penguins played pretty good. The next night, they play a tougher team in Boston Bruins, and Bomko's out, and you have a guy like Zadorov all over your stars. And I'm like, guys, when I played, even Eric Gauthier, that didn't play much, I felt so good when he was in the lineup, because it was just knowing he was there. It's such a comforting feeling. And I was a third line guy that had to kind of stick up for myself. Imagine, like, Sid and Gino, when they have their tough guys going after you. Like, I think Gino, like, he had that big scrape across his nose. He can't be happy when Zadorov, when you look across, like, he's got to be a little mad that they don't have anyone, because Zadorov's coming, and you're not going after Bolivier, Glass, if you're Zadorov. You're going after Sid, Gino, guys that, like, are their stars, you know? And that's why I'm like, throw a tough guy in there. I know I'm old school, but, like, it takes care of your veterans.
Plus, the veterans respond to it.
Yes.
They know, they appreciate it.
Well, maybe,
and it drags guys into the fight.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Shen, I guess, would be that guy for now. Tyler Kennedy, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, and our six-pack, brought to you by Bet365. We had a five-pack of cards yesterday from the General. You listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Tyler, we'll let you out of here on this one. Ovechkin gets .885 last night. He's 9 away from the record. It's looking more and more like this guy is going to do this season.
Yeah, I know.
What do you make of this spectacle?
You know, I read something this morning. They played New York, and Vincent Trocheck goes, what did they put in that leg when you broke it? Because ever since he's been done, ever since he broke it, he came back.
Yes.
And he has been on another level. And it's funny that Trocheck said that, because I think that's like a little dig a little bit, like what they put in that leg, because he's on another level. But
that injury, honestly, when that happened, I thought, well, that's going to really hamper him. He may never get there, because that's the kind of, you know, surgery that at 40 years old, what are you doing? How fast can you come back? But
now we're starting to get to the point where it's going to be, is he going to do it in a, like when he gets down to four, You just don't know if it could happen.
It could happen
on one
in any
night.
Game, right?
Yeah.
Hat trick.
We're getting there.
If you're within range of a hat trick, gotta go to the game and watch this.
And this is the highest profile. Here's what I was thinking about this morning to ask you, both of you. I can't remember a higher profile NHL record chase because this is home runs. There may be things that have been remarkable in terms of Ironman or points or whatever. This is the highest profile record chase I personally have ever witnessed in the NHL, and it's going to get crazier.
Chris and I talked about this on a sports call last night, and our best guess would have been Cal Ripken with his chase of all these games in a row. He played forever, and that's one of those things that you never thought would be broken. I'd love to see it. We had another, some people are miffed about this. Well, if it happens in Pittsburgh, I don't want to see it happen. If they're within one goal at the end of the game, Penguins pull the goalie. Hey, empty net goals are part of every – Crosby had them, Lemieux had them, they all have them. You play the game, and if he scores, you score. But I would want to watch it. I would stand and applaud him just because it's one of those things, and some people are not going that far, but I would from a respect factor.
When you think of, when Gretzky was scoring his goals and what Ovechkin scoring, the goalies are obviously different, the sticks are different, this and that.
Yeah.
But, he played, a hard game. He did it kind of all, And I'm just wondering if there's two games left, are you still pulling your goalie to try to stop him to score? You know what I mean?
Yes.
If they're up by 2-1,
yes.
And are you the Penguins? Last game of the year,
yes.
Are you pulling the goalie?
Yes.
I think teams might go out of their way to, if they're down by two or more, to pull the goalie to give them a chance.
No, I think you just play the game. I don't think they're going to do a Michael Strahan
I never
thing.
Know, Bob.
No.
I think if it's the Penguins' last game of the year, I ain't pulling that goalie.
Why, though?
Wait a second here. This is a great question.
You just
one
play
goal?
The game.
Yeah, no.
You need a goal. You're trying to win.
Yeah, but
you're going to tell me you're going to sit there. Where, and I know the game will be meaningless to the Penguins. How about if it's meaningful to the Washington Capitals? And you, as the Penguins, decide, I'm not even going to worry about winning it because I'm not letting him score. And Washington gets above a team that they're struggling with for playoff positioning. You're going to tell me you're going to let the integrity of the game go out the window to stop him?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
No.
Tyler, do you not like Ovechkin?
I love Ovechkin.
I love
Ovechkin, but I don't want him to do it this year.
You don't want him to do it here?
I want him. One, I don't think he should score that last goal on an open net. And two, I just don't want him to score against the Penguins the last game in an open net. And I would never pull my goalie. I would keep him in there. And
even
if
it's meaningful to them and you have a chance to...
What would be meaning?
In other words, they're vying
it
for...
It couldn't be that meaningful to them.
How about if they're going from a first winning the division or a number one seed, hypothetically, to number two seed? It costs them a place in that positioning. I don't know how it's going to turn out. And if you're playing a game as a Penguins, the integrity of the game means, okay, play. You may have guys in your roster that aren't NHL worthy because you're trying to rebuild, but you're still obligated to play the game that day for the integrity of the game. If it comes down to where you're losing 2-1, you pull your 99.999% of the time, you pull your goalie to try to get the equalizer.
This would be an unusual time.
But how many
Tyler?
Goals have all guys scored in empty nets? What's the difference?
But I think he's the most open net goals of all those top guys.
But every outstanding goal scorer has had empty net goals.
But I just... He's got the most open nets, but he's also going to be the most goals, too. But, again, but I'm telling you, I'm not worried
about...
Would you not
want to be there to be part of history, to say you got it? Let's forget the open net, just to have it happen. I want to be there. I want to watch it. I like
it. Sounds
history.
Like he doesn't, Bob, if he's going to have the goalie in the net at the end of the game. He doesn't want it to happen in Pittsburgh.
I don't want, to be honest, I don't want him to break the record. I'm kind of... indifferent to it now because I know he's going to do it, but the problem, and it kind of sounds crazy, is we're in the U.S. and I just don't want to see him break Gretzky's record, who's still very involved in the NHL, the best league in the world. I don't want Ovi to break it and then him go back to Moscow with all the medals and build youth hockey in Moscow and Russia when you did it in a different
country. He could do that even if he doesn't break the record.
But do you think he's going to be around, or do you think once he breaks it, he retires? I don't think Ovi's going to be part of – like, I don't think he's going to be around the game in hockey. I think he's going to be more around the game probably there, you know? And it's like, I think we're trying to grow the NHL, not have a guy that breaks it and disappears. But I don't know. Maybe he does. You know, obviously, all those guys, like – have places in Florida. I just want to see him break it and embrace him being the best goal scorer in the league by staying involved in the league that you broke it and not going somewhere and trying to grow the hockey in Russia compared to here. Does that sound crazy or no?
No, I mean, I don't take it that far. I think he will remain here somehow. I think he likes it here in this country. I've read a lot about He's probably going to, Malkin still goes back to Russia. I mean, they do what they do. I don't really care about that. What I do care about is I'm a big fan of when I see history in the making.
That is cool.
I try not to think about, okay, yeah, there's a hatred. And obviously, there has been. It's a professional hatred. But those guys also are friends afterwards. And listen, if you're trying to compete and he's got an opportunity to score that goal against you, I know that we went over and watched Albert Pujols hit a home run. I remember Mike Schmidt hitting number 500 in Pittsburgh. Watching that and thinking to myself, this is history. I want to watch history, you know? And if I get a chance to do it here in Pittsburgh, so be it. Mike Schmidt had 500 here.
What do you think is going to happen when he does break? You think the game's going to stop or how? Like,
yeah, it'll stop.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, how?
Yeah.
Like,
they'll break
the game
it.
Will stop, but like, well, how would they continue to play? They almost have to put it on pause, right?
We're in trouble, Bob, and you made it this way. He's giving us a signal to end because David DeCastro is coming on.
Okay, that's right.
We had
to do that. I'm sorry. It got a juicy
Tyler.
Conversation. I like that. That was
what did
fun.
You ask at the end?
Well, what's going to happen when they do break? You just, all right, the game's
done.
Yeah,
they stop it. They have to stop it.
And redo the game another time?
No. Gretzky will be there, I'm sure, right? You would think, if he's within.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when, who was it? The Stan Musial family was following Mark McGwire around, right?
Oh.
And every time, because they wanted
absolutely
to see it.
Absolutely, Gretzky will be there.